Welcome to the Momentum Matters podcast, where we have courageous conversations with women leaders. You'll hear about their experiences, accomplishments, challenges, and best advice. If you're inspired by women who have overcome barriers and gone on to do extraordinary things, you're in the right place. My name is Karen Doradus, and I'm the CEO of Social You, a digital marketing firm specializing in social media management, training, and consulting. This month is Black Business Month, and today on Momentum Matters, we're excited to be speaking with Cecilia Pearson, founder and CEO of Babypalooza. Cecilia will be sharing her experiences as a female Black business owner, including the challenges she's faced and how she has overcome them.
Good afternoon. I'm April Benitolo, and welcome to the Momentum Matters podcast. August is Black Owner Business Month, and we thought there would be no better way to celebrate that than to have our guests for August be female Black-owned business leaders. And so we've selected a couple that we will interview here in Birmingham, and I am so excited to get started today with a good friend of mine, Cecilia Pearson, who is the CEO and founder of Babypalooza. And such a fun name, such a fun concept, and I think you're really going to enjoy getting to know her story. So let's just jump right in, Cece. Is it okay if we call you Cece?
Cece is who I am.
Cece is who you are. I love it. Okay, so Cece, I was hoping that we could just get started today with you telling us a little bit about kind of your upbringing and maybe where you thought that pivotal moment was in your adolescence that maybe gave you the fabric that you have to have the courage to go on and do what you've done as a founder.
Yeah. And so one of the things about me is like, you know, I think, you know, when you see kids, you can see who they are really very early on. And I've always been an entrepreneur. I've loved building things. For me, you know, entrepreneurship started when I was like 9 years old. I had a Kool-Aid stand, and not just a Kool-Aid stand. I actually had a Kool-Aid franchise. And so I put these stands all around the neighborhood, and then I would organize kickball games because I knew that make people hot and thirsty. And kids would come and work the Kool-Aid stand and then bring me a jar of money at the end of the day. And this was like you know, like I said, 9 years old. And then I had carnivals. I started a library where the kids brought all their books, and I actually, you know, that I charged them to check them out. So this is just a part of the fabric of who I've always been. I've always been somebody that, you know, just had a vision for things and then would just go at, you know, making them happen.
So you had the hustle early.
Very early.
There someone else in your family that inspired you in that direction? Yeah.
And actually, I think it's an entrepreneur family. My grandfather, you know, had a store. You know, he was a store, a soda pop, you know, kind of store owner and things like that. So, yeah, we have entrepreneurship way down the line.
Excellent. And did you have siblings?
I do. I have two older sisters, and they are the opposite of entrepreneurs. It's so funny. My sister is an engineer for one of the banks, you know, so she's a computer programmer. She was recruited out of the college, has worked there for 35 years. She would never, ever change a job. You know, she would never take on the risk that goes on with entrepreneurship. So we're as opposite as you could possibly get.
Wow. Yeah. My sibling and I, my sister and I are very much that way as well. She was the one that went all over the neighborhood selling spaghetti supper tickets and would always win like the competition for the whole school. And I would be like, Amy, just let me sell mom and dad. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So when did you realize or where, tell me about how you got the idea to start Babypalooza. And, you know, was it daunting for you thinking about owning your own business, or did it feel like it was something that you were always destined to do?
Yeah. And that's what I keep saying. It's like, as far as, you know, I'm more of a, you know, like I didn't start Babypalooza as a business. I am more of just kind of a free spirit person. I'm very independent. And I just pursue my passions. And so, you know, I talk about the fact when I was 15 years old, I loved movies. So I went and applied for a job at a movie theater. And as luck would happen, when I started working at the movie theater at 15, you know, they went off the projectionist what do you call that, union, and they had volunteers trained to be a projectionist. And I raised my hand and I trained to be a projectionist. And so at 16, I was manager of a movie theater. You know, I just kind of always, you know, do the things that I think I love this, so I'll do this. I loved movies. So instead of working at McDonald's, I worked at the movie theater and ended up being a manager at 16 and checking out of school and, you know, managing people, you know, three times my age. And then right out of college, I worked in sports marketing because I loved sports and marketing. So I worked for the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup and things like that. So again, just pursuing my passions. You know, I worked for that company was a New York based company, and they wanted us at some point to move to New York, which I didn't. I love Birmingham. I have never wanted to live in another city. I like traveling. But I like coming home to Birmingham, Alabama. So when they wanted us to shift, I decided not to. And I started working for local media. So that's when Baby Palooza started. I was working for as a marketing director, freelance marketing director for a local magazine. And I just did it as a project, you know, single, no children. I started Baby Palooza as a magazine because the magazine I worked for was a wonderful magazine, but they weren't really targeting new and expectant parents. And so I said, I can do that. Nobody else in Birmingham, you know, is doing anything media wise. And so I wanted to help people that were new and expectant find out all the wonderful resources that they had in Birmingham that they wouldn't know about. I always say you don't know what you don't know. So I said they may know about the NIC, but they may not know about, you know, Jack and Jill and Sykes. And, you know, we have so many resources. And so that's how Baby Palooza started. It started as a glossy newsstand magazine six times a year, just addressing here's the great things in Birmingham for new and expectant parents. That's how it started. And we will actually be 17 years old next month.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. And so in its current form, at what point did you decide to take that printed magazine into the concept that you have today?
Yeah. So the evolution is, so we started it as a magazine 17 years ago. A year after that, I started doing live events. The first Baby Expo was at Brookwood Village. And that was because I wanted the event, the magazine to come to life. I wanted people to be able to talk to people and get those resources and ask questions. Because if you think about it, if you're expecting or having a child, you cannot get in a car, go to six daycare centers, go find the college savings person, look at cars and do all of that, you know, in a way that was easy. And so I thought if I bring these resources under one roof and you just spend the day, you know, and you can bring your whole family up, because again, that's the other part is hard, you know, everybody getting off and things like that. So we created this wonderful event where you brought your spouse, your mother-in-law, your sister, and you could go from table to table and interview those daycare centers. You could, you know, find out about the latest van and car that they would actually be parked there for you to get in and out. And that event became so popular over the years that we found that people were driving 100 miles plus to get here to these events. And I was going like, why are y'all coming to Birmingham for a little baby expo? And they said, because we don't have them. So they didn't have them in Huntsville and Mobile. And so that's when the Baby Palooza tour was born. So I said, well, if y'all don't have it, we'll start coming to you. And so just to fast forward, right before the pandemic started, Baby Palooza, the tour, had grown into being in five states and 12 cities. So in 2020, we were going to be in Houston and Austin and, you know, all these wonderful places where people are going to raise their families. You know, that became a big deal. And where we are now is in 2019, I had this aha moment is that I am seeing over 50,000 attendees a year at these events, but I'm seeing them for half a day and then waving goodbye. I wasn't doing anything else with them. There was no digital platform for us to stay engaged. And I thought we could be doing so much more. One, we could be walking through this journey from preconception to preschool if we had a digital platform where they can learn after the event. And so the big deal was, let's create an app so that when they're at the event, they can download the app and they can stay with us. You know, we can continue to give them resources. We can connect them to, you know, people that they missed at the event, and we could connect them to each other. And so I applied to the Velocity Accelerator, got in, that was 2019, used that money to build the app. And so I built the MVP myself. In 2020, the big idea was, okay, we're gonna go to those 12 cities and we're gonna onboard everybody onto the Baby Palooza app and just grow into this huge community. And then the pandemic hit and all 12 events got canceled.
Yes, I do remember this.
Yeah.
And so, so obviously that has created some challenges for you. Has that also opened up some new opportunities?
It did. So fortunately for us, because we had started that digital transformation right before the pandemic, you know, we had the infrastructure to be able to pivot. So some of the biggest baby expo shows in the U.S., Big City Moms, MommyCon, all of those went on their website and said, we are closed for business. And several of them will never open back up. They shuttered. They're done and they're gone. But Babypalooza, we were able to, I mean, within a month, start having virtual baby expos through our platform. And because all the other businesses had closed down, these big brands were looking for solutions. And so since the pandemic, we have been able to partner with people like Kiko and Boppy and Thule, some of the biggest baby brands, you know, in the nation, and still put them in front of new and expectant parents. And so we went from being a very localized live event company to a national digital platform. We now have more followers in New York and Texas and California than we do in Alabama and Georgia. So, you know, we were able to, I mean, I'm so proud of everything that we've done because, you know, to be able to do this in such a short period of time in the midst of a pandemic, to me was incredible. So I'm proud.
Yeah, you should be. Congratulations. That is awesome. Awesome progress. And so exciting that you were able to take, you know, that quintessential challenge and to the, you know, a fundamental way that your business was being done and parlay that into a new opportunity that even as you return to live events, I imagine you're going to be able to continue to capitalize on that digital presence and those partnerships.
Yeah, we will always be hybrid. But what has happened is because we have been able to spend the last 12 months really engaged in talking to our moms and finding out what they need. Where Babypalooza really is going to go is we are going to be just a membership-based program for parents across the nation. And so when I try to explain to people what I'm creating, I say, think about Weight Watchers. So what Weight Watchers is for people trying to lose weight, Babypalooza will be for new and expectant moms. So as soon, my goal is, and my vision is as soon as a mom finds out that she's expecting, she goes to her OB office, she finds out she's expecting, she connects to Babypalooza because she knows that we are going to walk with her from preconception to preschool and help her find everything she needs under one roof. So it's the same concept we started with, but just what if you had one platform you can go to and you can find out about what insurance you need. You can connect to your local real estate agent. You can also find out about the how to build your baby registry. You can talk to other people, local as well as national health experts, everything you need. And you don't have to worry about when you need it because we have platforms. So we have preconception. You know, you start there. We're going to tell you each month, you know, here's what you need and here are your resources. And so we're just going to take you through it. Like I said, the same thing you think about Weight Watchers, where there's a program and they give you color codes and, you know, things like that. And they still also allow you to gather and meet locally so that you can, you know, learn from the community. That's where we're going. So we're going to have these big events and big rallies where you can still come together. But it's mostly going to be about you walking through what you need through the platform. So that's where we're going.
And are you doing through Babypalooza value adds, like discounts or free product that are offered by your partners?
Yeah. So one of the things that we started when the pandemic hit, you know, one of the reasons people love to come to baby shows is for all the free swag. You know, they love just kind of, it's almost like trick or treat going, you know, booth to booth and getting free stuff. We created the Babypalooza sample box. And so this is where, you know, the brands are able to send products. Some of them are full size, real products. Some of them are samples. But moms get to try before they buy. So they go and they are able to get the sample box for the cost of shipping and handling and have all of those products shipped to them. Right now, it's kind of one like pregnancy box, but we're growing that so that we're going to have preconception boxes. So you'll have different, you know, pregnancy tests and nutrition and things like that. The pregnancy box, the new baby box, and we're even doing one for dads. And so that's one program. But we also, you know, do offer discounts. Our partners give us very deep discounts. And we call that the virtual swag bag. So when you attend one of our events, you get an email with a list of discounts that all the vendors have offered.
So we hear a lot at Momentum from professional women and more notably women of color, a lot about the challenges that they face in the workplace. I know from personal experience and friends that I have that are Black female founders, Black female business owners, that there are some additional inherent challenges that come with that. So what has been your experience along those lines?
Yeah. And, you know, I love Birmingham and Birmingham has been great to me. I've connected to great resources like Velocity and Bronze Valley and, you know, Dr. Patrick Murphy and UAB and things like that. But, you know, what I find the biggest challenges is that, especially maybe in Birmingham, is that, you know, there is biasness. And so for me, it's sometimes just feeling real talk, being invisible. You know, so like at Innovation Depot, I have people that there would be great synergy for us to work together and collaborate. But these people won't even bother to speak to me. I mean, really, they just, you know, they have such a bias that think, you know, maybe because, you know, I'm a Black female or something like that, that I'm not truly an entrepreneur or, you know, they don't have a comfort zone or things like that. So, I mean, you know, this is the honest, you know, answer is that there are people that are just more comfortable being with people that look and act and are in the same circle as them. And so the rest of us are on the outside looking in. And so I think that's the problem is that people have to expand who gets asked to the table or, you know, who they, you know, expose themselves to because they're missing opportunities. And so that's what I find is that, you know, just people stick to their same circles as a very tight network and people like me are not part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And as far as business challenges go, what are, you know, aside from a pandemic hitting a business that was based largely in live person events, what are some of the other challenges that you would share with our audience?
Well, one challenge, and you have actually helped me with this, has been talent. So just, you know, learning how to recruit, especially people with a technology based in Birmingham, finding the right talent. Learning how to onboard them, you know, especially as a small entrepreneur kind of company. You know, I don't have a HR expert, so I have to. And entrepreneurs by nature are usually not good at, structure and things that, you know, would build a great team. And so just having to, until I get to having the bandwidth to hire somebody to do that, having to learn that myself has been the biggest challenge.
Yeah, as someone who is an entrepreneur at heart, I also have that problem with structure and getting those people around you who compliment you rather than imitate you is a really important piece of that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of times our conversations turn at Momentum to when women feel, particularly women, and again, I think it's even more so for women of color when they are the underrepresented in the room. This feeling of imposter syndrome of, do I deserve to be here? Or just a general, you know, a waning of confidence in certain situations. And it's so interesting to find out what the different tips and tricks are that different people have to sort of pump themselves up or psych themselves up for maybe a challenging situation. So I was wondering if you have any of those to share.
Yeah. And so I want to just say a couple of things. One, I want to clarify about the, you know, Black female entrepreneurship thing. Like in my day-to-day life, I'm not thinking about, you know, the people that don't give me the time of day. I mean, that's just life. You know, people, you know, are in their circles. And so that's not something I wake up thinking about and it's part of, you know, my life. It's just not. And then the second thing is, I have to say, confidence is not something I lack. And I think that's mainly is because for me, confidence is faith-based. On my office wall, I have a Bible verse. It's Psalms 46:5. And it says, God is within her. She cannot fail. And so for me, that doesn't mean I won't make mistakes. It just means that I will learn from my mistakes and I will continue to grow. That there's no such thing to me as failure. So my confidence is based on the fact that, you know, that success is promised to me. You know, it's kind of like, you know, so it's faith-based. And so I know sometimes people are uncomfortable with that, but that's what it's based on. And so when I wake up in the morning, I'm excited. Like I'm a morning person. Like I hope when I wake up, it's at least 5 o'clock so I can get up and start going. Because if it's like 4 o'clock, I'm going like, well, if I get up now, I'm going to crash. But if it's 5 o'clock, boom, I'm done. Like I'm so excited. Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, confidence is not something I like I'm having fun. Like even at its hardest moments, to me, it's exciting. Like I just get to learn. Like it's you just really have to have a passion and understand that the challenges and even the things that don't work are not failure. It's an opportunity to learn and change. And so that's my perspective. And to me, that makes it fun.
And I can tell you that from my past interactions with you, that shines through leaps and bounds, you know, the confidence and this attitude of what am I going to do now?
What's next?
What's next? What's next? And it's so refreshing and you're such a delight to be around.
Well, thank you.
So, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us all of those things. Cece, when you think about the future and you think about what you want for Baby Palooza and what you want for yourself personally, what's the super exciting point to you? What keeps you going or gives you that sort of enthusiasm when you wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning?
Well, one thing for me, I think is interesting because, you know, like I said, Baby Palooza was just a lifestyle you know, company, that was a project. And so people were going like, you've been in business 17 years. Why aren't you like huge? It's 'cause like, I never meant to be huge. I mean, when it was a lifestyle business, I worked 3 days a week, 6 months a year, and then went to the beach, you know? And so I was very happy. But when I got to Innovation Depot and I started seeing all these companies that were doing these huge things, it opened up, you know, the opportunities for me. I was going, you know, like I felt like I was squandering my talents at that point by not pursuing it more. And for me, it's more about if I increase my bandwidth, it increases the bandwidth for others. And so this is allowing me to create something where people can have a place to work. You know, it's allowing me to increase my knowledge so I can become a mentor. Well, I am a mentor, so that I can mentor other people. So at this stage in my life, it's about what can I do that makes things bigger for, you know, to create a platform for other people. So whether it's the moms that are in rural areas and places where they couldn't connect before because they couldn't make it to a live event, if it's for other Black female entrepreneurs that haven't seen it modeled and don't know what's possible, like that's, to me, that sky's the limit. And the bigger part is if I can blow Baby Palooza up from Birmingham, Alabama by myself with, of course, support from the network, and people pay attention, it can change everything. Like I want people to know that I don't care who you are. If you will apply yourself, take advantage of the network that's around you, ask questions, get mentors and learn, anything is possible. And so I just want people to know it doesn't matter who you are. You can be successful.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And you can do it from right here.
Exactly. I mean, I want Baby Palooza to surprise the world.
So when you think about how you've seen the tech ecosystem grow and develop and change in Birmingham, what's your commentary on that? What are you seeing as a positive evolution, and where do you think that we still have room to grow?
I think the positive thing is that because companies have been successful scaling from Birmingham and they are making Birmingham their base, they're recruiting tech talent here. And that tech talent is going to, you know, continue to populate so that as companies like mine need that, you know, we can poach from the other people. So, you know, they can train them and they can learn, and we'll have talent that's actually in Birmingham versus having to, you know, go outside of Birmingham to find it. So that's, to me, you know, in a few years is really going to be great for Birmingham.
Yeah, I believe that 100%, 100%. Is there, in terms of advice for professional women, what would you give advice to a young Cece who is thinking about doing this and maybe feeling a little bit inhibited, or do you have like a top three things that you would encourage her to do first?
Well, first, I always say, you know who you are. So be who you are. You know, it's kind of like, don't feel like you have to be anything other. Like I'm, you know, I am a person that I am comfortable in a t-shirt and jeans behind a computer. I am 100% geek. You know, I started, you know, my dad took me to a UAB coding camp when I was 12. And that's what I like to do. Like my favorite thing really is to be behind a computer. So, you know, that's who I am. But the other thing is also opposite of that, don't be afraid to stretch, because when I decided I was going to grow Babypalooza 3 years ago, I knew I was going to have to change. I'm an introvert. I do not like to be in a spotlight. I do not like to network. I would rather be, like I said, unseen. But I knew that in order to raise money and to grow Babypalooza, I was going to have to do things I was not comfortable with. So, you know, also be willing to do that. And the most important thing I have learned is the importance of relationships and networking, because, again, like I said, I'm an introvert. I am happy just hiking with my dogs. But when I started to talk to people like you and, you know, Carrie with Mixtros and all these other people, I learn something every time I talk to somebody and I'm able to apply that. And so if I had been doing that for years, I mean, who knows where I would be? But I grow every time I meet with people. And so I would say networking is number one.
Yeah. Well, Cece, I am so grateful to you for joining us today. I think we got a lot of little nuggets of wisdom, and I want to give you just this opportunity to tell us what kind of roles and positions you think you might be looking for over the next 6 to 12 months, because we may have listeners who might be interested in applying.
Yeah, so ours is going to be more on the tech developer side, because, you know, the other thing we've been doing for a long time. So we actually just hired for two positions that started in August. One, we went through the Venture for America program and have a graduate from Clark University from Atlanta that's moving over to Birmingham to be our growth manager. And we're also getting somebody from Innovate Birmingham to be our first actual on staff developer. So that is just going to continue to expand in that same way.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on both of those.
Thank you.
And we're going to carefully be watching you to see where all of this goes. And again, thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you, April.
The Momentum Matters podcast thanks our visionary sponsor, Regions. For additional sponsors, please check our website, momentumleaders.org/sponsors. Signing off, this is Karen Tarotas from Social You.